What if kittens paid the clock inch beyond? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and there have been loads of questions and presidential votes pouring in, so I decided to try to answer a few extra questions today. You might not hear all your ideas read in full, as some of them were quite involved, but I want to thank Cameron, Alice, siblings Oliver and Raphael, siblings Amelia and Harrison, and everyone who's been submitting their votes for president of What If World and their What If questions. Some of today's What Ifs contain spoilers, but our title question comes from Alice, who writes, Hi, my name is Alice. I'm 11 years old. I like my cat boots and dance, and my What If question is, what if Abacus made a robot to help the environment, but when he turns it on, it becomes evil? We've got to get started, because there's so much story to tell today.
Not so fast, Mr. Eric, for I, Dracomax, must give a thunderous shout-out to Evie, age 11. She loves all the What If characters. She is working on writing several books, and chickens and dragons are two of her favorite things. She even has chickens that are her sisters.
That's amazing, Evie. Good luck with the books.
And those chicken sisters.
And I've got a big woof woof for Ari from Fairport, New York. He's 10 years old and his favorite character is me, Fred the dog. Ari just started playing the baritone horn this summer in his school band. And his family listens every night before bed and on road trips.
Congrats, Ari. I hope if your horn ever comes to life that they're very polite.
Weird, Mr. Eric.
That's a fair port, Fred.
Don't you mean fair port? Oh, I see what you did.
Now let's find out. What if Abacus made a robot to help the environment, but when he turns it on, it becomes evil? Plus a few other secret questions you'll learn about later. Your story starts after a quick break. Now a lot has happened in What If World since the first World Pool episode, which aired on December 25th, 2023, and was called Malcolm Asks What If World Had a Pool Party. And in our last new episode of What If World, Mia asks, what if Abacus got really good at magic? We have...
Hey, what gives, Mr. Eric? You trying to put me out of the job?
Baby recap!
The one and only! And since we're discussing the fate of my big brother and father figure...
Never mind the fate of What If World.
Yes, never mind that. There's no way I'm letting you turn my papa brother into a villain.
But didn't you hear the last story?
Of course. I know everything that happened in the past. I'm Baby Recap.
Then would you like to recap the...
I thought you'd never ask. Last time on What If World, everyone was turned into robots. Then Mr. Eric got eaten by a robo-cuthuncle and brought to What If World. They met Mama Gemma and Howie House and learned that Robo Abby had taken over all of What If World by giving them crystal balls.
The crystal balls gave everyone robotic upgrades, but the last upgrade would wipe away all their feelings forever.
That's right, but please don't interrupt.
I thought it could be like a team effort.
You thought wrong. Mama Gemma, Cuthuncle, and Mr. Eric knew their only hope would be to find a creature very good at breaking crystal balls.
JF
Cat! I said it first.
But when they found JF Cat Tron,
he had lost all his memories.
We convinced JF Cat Tron to leave the observatorium and come with us on Howie House.
But now there's only 19 minutes left before Robo Abby's upgrade wipes out all feelings forever, including mine, presumably, and I don't know how to feel about that.
Don't worry, Baby Recap, we're not gonna let that happen. Right, Cuthuncle?
Wait, are we in the story now? That was a strange transition.
Yeah, my head's spinning, and where'd this baby come from?
That baby is all sepia tone, though I must say I like their fedora.
We've got to stop Robo Abby somehow, before that villain destroys the world.
But what you don't know is the whole story.
Yeah, but that's why we just did the recap, right?
No, I mean Abacus's whole story.
Wait, so we're doing a flashback after a recap?
I call it A pre-cap.
I think post-recap prequel would be more accurate.
I don't care.
You may think that all of What If World's problems began with the Whirlpool, but for Abacus, things had been going wrong for ages.
Oh, things have been going wrong for ages,
said Abacus. This was back before he had figured out about narrators.
What was that? Did someone say something?
Abacus had just spent a difficult day in the classroom as a hamburger. It seemed like his magic was never going right.
My magic is never going right,
said Abacus. Maybe he could hear me a little?
Who? How much?
Just forget it, Abacus.
If no one says so.
And so, Abacus sat down at his desk and looked around at his office. Against one wall was a bookcase lined with beautiful crystal balls. Some sparkled, cut with perfect symmetry. Others were cloudy and rough, but no less beautiful. Against the opposite wall hung hundreds of staves and wands, cut from every kind of tree imaginable. Some curled and twisted. Some were straight as a rod.
Those ones are rods.
Are you sure you can't hear me?
My dear inner thoughts,
why must you pester me so?
Said Abacus.
How long is this bit gonna last? I thought we only had 19 minutes to save the world.
Oh, don't worry. Flashbacks don't take up any time at all.
What about bickering? How much time does that take up?
So far, about 5 minutes.
Perfect.
And that's when all the robo-people in the present realize that JF Catron must be programmed to sabotage the mission.
Are you recapping the present?
Well, it did just happen, so it's technically the past.
Quick, back to the flashback.
Bloogity 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 bloo.
And there on Abacus's third wall, the wall you couldn't miss because it was directly opposite the door.
How could I have possibly missed this wall?
Stood Abacus's collection of potions.
You mean empty bottles, voice in my head?
Corrected Abacus. And he was right. A massive bookcase stood before him, crowded with hundreds of bottles. Some curved or narrow, bulbous or straight, some that bent the light, and others that swallowed it up. But all of the bottles were empty, save one.
Hold the stone! The magical stone that people use to talk to each other, like a phone.
Abacus went to inspect the stoppered vial. He had never successfully brewed a potion, or if he had, it was so long ago that he'd forgotten. And yet, fluid swirled within. Beige, then brown, then red, yellow, green, and beige again. When he shook the vial, the colors mixed and formed into thousands of tiny hamburgers before slowly separating again.
Remarkable! I turned myself into a hamburger, and here I have some sort of hamburger potion.
I guess I can make potions after all.
For a moment, Abacus felt proud. His mistake had made something beautiful. And yet, the old wizard could not, for the life of him, guess what the potion might do.
Oh, well,
he thought aloud.
No one would be foolish enough to drink one of my potions.
The professor decided it would be best to leave the potion case alone. Yet every time one of his spells went wrong, another one of the empty bottles would fill with a strange new liquid.
Best not to think about it,
Abacus thought aloud.
Instead, I'll think about how often I've been thinking out loud lately.
Weeks went by, then months, then years. Somewhere along the way, Abacus figured out that I was the voice he kept hearing.
Yes, hi, Miss Eric. I thought we agreed to forget about the secret potions.
I never agreed to that.
Uh-oh, that means my potion-forgetting spell didn't work.
Oh, I wonder what the potion that made looks like.
And on it went, until his potions case was overflowing. It was on this day that a certain cat...
Quiet, this is meow favorite part.
I thought you lost your memories.
Yeah, but there's the non-robot me grabbing all the potions. He's unforgettable.
It was on this day that JF Cat, not JF Cat Tron who keeps interrupting me, decided to show how much he'd learned from his mistakes. So, instead of breaking Abacus's crystal balls...
To be fair, it looks like he'd already broken them all.
But instead of finding something else to break... JF Cat brought all the potion bottles to a party without breaking a single one.
Pool potion party,
said JF Cat, tossing them into the pool one by one. Unfortunately, a certain Fred the dog
had also decided to curb one of his bad habits and learn from his mistakes. So instead of chewing up every stick he found, including all of Abacus's staves and wands...
Again, they were all chewed already.
But instead of finding more of them to chew somewhere, he had started chewing on corks. And so it was that every mistake Abacus had ever made and tried to forget about poured into the pool, which started whirling and swirling. And
yes, yes, we know the rest. The whirlpool began and started flinging what-if characters into other realities.
I'm sure he has a perfectly good point that he's finally gonna get to, right, sweetie?
Thanks, Mama Gemma. You see, JF Cat and Fred may have started the whirlpool, but Abacus kept telling himself it was all his fault.
Harrison knew it all along. He and his sister Amelia, they asked what if every time Abacus did a spell incorrectly, a wormhole opened. Oh, every mistake I tucked away and tried to forget became a bottled-up wormhole to a realm of possibility. Horrible, horrible possibility.
The wizard knew he'd never stop making mistakes. And he was afraid that if he kept making them, the world pool would pull What If World apart at the seams. So he did what any Abacus would do.
I'll make a robot with magic. Robots never make mistakes.
Robo Abby was programmed to clean up What If World and scour away every trace of the world pool so that things could go back to the way they were.
Ah, Robo Abby is activated.
Oh, you sound just like me.
No, I sound superior in every way, just as you programmed me.
Okay, well, great then.
And the first step to cleaning up What If World...
Yes?
...is trapping you inside a crystal ball. Very good, let's get started.
Forever.
Wait, what was that?
But Robo Abby was already working on the spell. He cast with a precision that Abacus could never match.
Execute spell perfectly, colon trap Abacus.
But that spell doesn't even rhyme.
Who says spells have to rhyme? Fairport.
I think you mean Fairpoint.
No, I don't. It's a callback. Oh, no.
And the wizard was encased in crystal and shrunk down to fit neatly into the hand of Robo Abby. And it was just then, at that very inconvenient moment, that the rest of What If World became robots, too. There, you see, my papa isn't the villain.
Oh, no, he just created the villain and started the whole whirlpool mess in the first place.
Well, it appears that I played a fluffy paw in that debacle as well.
So in order to stop Abacus, we have to free Abacus?
My robo-logic indicates that the crystal balls every person in What If World has are connected to the original Abacus's magic.
Oh, Harry House, I forgot you were here.
People tend to do that when they're standing inside me.
I didn't forget. Howie House just changed my diaper.
Oh, what does it matter if the crystal balls are Abacus magic or Robo Abby magic?
Because JF Cat has always been able to ignore crystal ball magic.
It's kind of like his superpower.
Oh, yeah. JoJo was able to walk right through the magical trouble bubble around the observatorium.
Oh, Mr. Eric, you're here too.
Yes, you ate me, Cuthuncle. That's how I got here in the last episode.
I can't be expected to remember everyone I eat and don't eat.
But if JoJo can't be affected by the crystal balls, how'd he lose his memory?
All heads slowly turned to Baby Recap.
How am I supposed to know? I'm just a baby who can see the past. Oh, I see. Okay, searching.
Baby Recap's eyes projected all the newsreel footage on Howie House's living room wall. We saw a young JF Cat sharing his food with a hungry Fred the Dog and Mr. Mouser. We saw him as president, dealing with floods and one Cuthuncle disaster after another.
Sorry.
We saw him as the leader of the Fur Force, protecting others from danger, young or old, furry or hairless. And we saw him put a paw on a crystal ball with a little wizard trapped inside. Then the newsreel appeared to break and everything went black.
It appears Robo Abby has somehow affected my recap magic. There's more to this mystery than we know.
Everyone felt afraid. Even me. Robo Abby didn't seem to follow the rules of any past What If World villains.
He's all powerful.
Oh, please. I've seen all powerful. He's just extremely impossibly powerful.
Is there a difference?
Yes, Howie. An important one. Because it means we still have a chance.
That's right. And seeing Meowself help those people and look amazing has helped me regain my memories.
Howie House, can you fly us back to the observatorium for a secret stealth mission to grab the crystal ball trapping Abbott?
We never left the observatorium. We've just sort of been hovering around.
Didn't anyone tell you to leave?
Nope. J.F. Catron asked me to keep a window facing the sun so he could get really warm.
Hello, my little robo-rebels.
The voice of Robo Abby boomed all around as the entire observatorium started to glow and menacing purple tendrils of flame reached toward the house.
Have you enjoyed plotting against me?
Yes, very much so.
We had two recaps and a flashback.
And we know you're not the real Abacus.
Then you must also know that there's no way you're getting my crystal ball before I free all of What If World from their pesky emotions. You're welcome.
And the purple flames shot out toward Howie House.
And us.
It was all Howie could do to keep away.
Actually, it's a little more than all I can do.
Purple flames were already licking Howie's front porch.
Not so fast.
One of Kathunkel's slimy octopus arms swiped away the fire and freed the house.
But you can't keep this up forever.
And my spell will be ready in moments. Okay, that was a pretty good menacing laugh, I'll give you that. Mamma Jamma, I've got to try something risky. Can you
protect everyone and get J.F. Catron to the observatorium so we can steal the crystal ball?
I was gonna say fly away, but your idea's much better.
Except for him knowing everything.
He sees everything, J.F. Cat, but his processing power has a limit.
Then baby Recap will give him too much to process.
And, what should I do, Kathunkel?
Do what you do best, Mr. Eric.
Eggs over easy?
No, what? Why would I?
Just narrate for us, will ya?
Of course, yeah. Eggs can wait.
Everyone had their mission. Kathunkel flew out over Howie House, growing into his unfathomable form.
A writhing mass of octopus arms and squid tentacles.
While Howie House 3D printed a high-tech-looking steering wheel right into Mamma Jamma's hands.
Howie House, I'm gonna need you to be more rocket ship than House today.
Directive accepted. The house transformed into a fast, flying spaceship, while J.F. Cat leaned out the windowsill, looking for his moment to pounce. Just as
Baby Recap played every newsreel from What If World history.
Baby Recap's eyes opened wide as he leaned his head out another window,
and newsreels flashed across the sky, replaying
all 321 What If World episodes,
plus some bonus episodes and reruns,
at the same time across the sky.
Wow, that is a little noisy. Could we quiet that out, please?
Just get us a little closer, Mamma Jamma,
said J.F. Catron as they neared the observatorium. But then, a purple tendril of magic lashed out at the house, sending it spinning back into the sky.
Baby Recap and J.F. Cat almost fell out their windows.
Fortunately, I grabbed Jojo, and Mamma Jamma grabbed the baby.
You should know not to grab a distressed cat.
Yeah, okay.
It looked like Kathunkel might be our only hope. I stared out the window, and J.F. Cat went quiet in my arms.
Oh, please.
You hold one of my crystal balls.
That means I control you.
Kathunkel froze in midair. All the thunder and lightning and storm clouds he'd manifested became flat and motionless, no more than paintings in the sky.
And yet, There will only ever be one thing in this world that is all-powerful.
You, please.
You're a puppet, not me. What if? Read it, Mr. Eric.
No, I can't. This question isn't you, Kathunkle.
A child asked it. Trust them, and trust me.
Okay. Siblings Oliver and Raphael wrote in with their votes and their questions.
What's going on out there?
Howie House, can you swing us back around?
I'm trying. Engines damaged. Voice stilted.
Their questions were about Robo-Kathunkle.
Yeah, well, I don't like where this is going.
There isn't time, Jojo. Let's trust our friend.
And Raphael asked, what if Robot-Kathunkle took over the other candidates with his super Wi-Fi networking powers?
Oh, what will that matter?
Because one of those candidates is inside your crystal ball.
Kathunkle's arms began to move again, and one of them curled around the crystal ball he held.
No, I was so close. But controlling the majority of the universe isn't bad.
No, Robo Abby. You hold one of my crystal balls. That means I control you.
And Kathunkle reached out with his super Wi-Fi powers, and the glow faded from the observatorium.
JF Catron, please break as many crystal balls as you like. And with just a little turn of Abacus's magic, the breaking of the ball will turn us back into our original forms.
A little turn of Abacus's magic? Is that a good idea, Kathunkle?
Mamma Gemma, I'm trying to save the world from the clutches of an evil automaton. I don't have time for debate.
Okay, Kathunkle.
Mamma Gemma said, in a voice that still sounded a little robot-y. That is, until JF Cat broke her crystal ball.
Hey, were you using your super Wi-Fi powers on me to get me to agree with you?
Only a little.
Kathunkle!
I swear after this I'm done controlling others. I won't even be able to once we smash their crystal balls.
But how can we smash Papa Abacus's ball without hurting him?
Say what now?
He's still stuck inside a crystal ball that you apparently control, along with all his magic.
Mr. Eric, isn't it time for the end of the episode?
I don't know. Baby Recap raised some pretty good...
Didn't you get one vote for president, Mr. Eric, technically making you a candidate?
I mean, barely, but...
Say it, Mr. Eric.
The end. Ooh, well, there you have it, folks. Everyone is going to get turned back into their original forms, and Kathunkle is not up to anything at all.
Nicely said, but just loosen it up a little bit now.
Oh, sure, yeah. I hope you all enjoyed your story. I want to thank all of our question askers. Again, they're Amelia and Harrison. We read their question in the story. There was Alice. You heard her question at the beginning. There was Oliver and Raphael. And we just heard Raphael's question. And then this one last nice one I want to play from Cameron.
My name is Cameron. I like JF Cat. And my what if question is, what if JF Cat saw old news reports from when he was president and remembered how much he liked helping people and got his memories back? Bye.
So thanks to everyone for their questions and votes, and thank you all for listening. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, my producer, Miss Lynn, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who know that forgetting about our mistakes isn't quite the same as learning from them. And until we meet again, keep wondering.
What if world? This is what if world.
The International Children's Arts Network is community funded, supported by listeners like you, and by a grant from the Joyce N. Furman Memorial Trust, celebrating a lifetime of giving to children, education, and the arts.